Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Father God, we worship you in the sanctuary. We are so thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your majesty. We are thankful because you are who you are, and we know that we can trust you. We worship you in your holiness, O God. We worship you in your faithfulness, Lord. We worship you because you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our praise. And Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. Wherever we are, your presence is with us. We cannot escape you. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just ask you to let your presence be known in this place today, Almighty God. Father God, we desire, we covet the anointing, Lord God, this day, so that your power might move upon us wherever we are, that your word will impact our hearts, that what is spoken, Lord God, from the scriptures, Lord God, will actually be living and alive in us, and that we might write it upon the tables of our hearts. Father, we thank you for every person that's in the sanctuary, every person who's listening through Facebook or some other means. Father, we are thankful because someone wants to hear. Someone wants fellowship with you this morning. Someone wants to hear a word of hope. Someone wants to hear a word of encouragement, or maybe even a word of correction, a word that will help us to line up with you. Father God, we thank you. We embrace your presence. Again, I say, Lord, have thine own way in the service, Lord. Have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I ask you, use this your servant as a vessel of honor unto you today, Lord God. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. It is so good to be in your presence.
Amen.
This morning, we are back in the sanctuary after a couple of Sundays out.
Amen.
We are present and accounted for. To God be the glory. Well, we are continuing. Well, let me first of all greet you. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, coming to you from Piney Hill Baptist Church, where our pastor is Pastor Major Gilbert. Our precious First Lady is First Lady Brenda Gilbert. My husband is with us this morning, Reverend Anthony Tinsley, and all of you are with us this morning, the household of faith.
Amen.
And maybe somebody's not of the household of faith, but you are here anyhow, or joining with us by Facebook or some other means. We are thankful for your presence. Glory to God. We are continuing with our series on Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we stop there. The title of the message this morning is Thy Will Be Done, Living in the Kingdom. The first message was, the title was Entrance into Kingdom Citizenship. Last week was Life in the Kingdom. as we talked about life in the kingdom, and just going back to give a little summary, one of the things we're focusing on is that we as the body of Christ need to remember that when Jesus Christ began to preach, his message was the kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Throughout the scriptures, we see references to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his dear son. All through the scriptures, especially the New Testament, you see talk of the kingdom. And we have to know that this kingdom is not just of this, the kingdom is not just the kingdom of heaven, that kingdom that we are going to go to someday in the sweet by and by, but the kingdom of God is in us and among us right now. As I ministered on life in the kingdom, that was like a broad brush stroke of life in the kingdom, realizing that you and I, as the body of Christ, are representatives in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And because we are in Christ, we must realize we are strangers and foreigners in this land. We are not here to stay. To God be the glory. That is a place made for us, not built by hand. And when you are in Christ, you can have a joy in that thought, knowing that there is another place. There is a better place. Most of us aren't too anxious to get there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But there is yet a better place. Amen. God be the glory. As we continue to look in the scriptures, Colossians 1:13, reminding us that we, the kingdom of heaven is within us. It says, God has freed us from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are in the kingdom right now, and the kingdom is in us. Also, I was mentioned to you Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and
joy
in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as citizens of the kingdom, in our temporary citizenship on earth, you and I are instruments of righteousness. Last week I called it ambassadors, not just of righteousness, but ambassadors of righteousness, ambassadors of peace, ambassadors of joy. We are God's representatives in the earth. I heard one minister say, we represent him. We represent him to the world. We represent him to other believers in Jesus Christ. We are representatives in the earth. So today we're going to bring the message a little bit closer to home with a greater focus on us as individuals, with the focus on the latter part of verse 10 of chapter 6 of Matthew. So what book of the Bible can you find the Lord's Prayer in? Matthew. What chapter? 6. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How is that possible? By you and I as earthen vessels, realizing that it's up to us to manifest the kingdom of heaven in the earth. It's up to you and I to manifest the glory of God, to manifest the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's up to you and I to bring the kingdom of what Father says represents who he is into the earth. So when I pray this particular scripture, I oftentimes get to the place where I say, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. Because I recognize that not only am I a citizen of the earth, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. I'm not just a citizen of heaven, but I'm also a citizen of the earth. So in this earthen vessel, Lord God, let your kingdom come forth. And then the prayer goes on to say, let your will be done. How can God's will be done in these earthen vessels? By you and I as earthen vessels, surrendering and submitting to his will. By you and I declaring like Jesus did on one occasion when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. How do we come to this place where we are honoring him in these earthen vessels and where we are able to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, by you and I yielding and saying, like Mary said, according to your word, be it unto me. How do we manifest the glory of God in these earthen vessels? Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like the way this is written in the King James, in the Amplified Version. I will tell you that this is the scripture that I chose for my life scripture in my early walk with the Lord, and I memorized it from King James Version, but I do also like how it reads in the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, the mercies of his redemption, the mercy of his protection, the mercy of his provision, all of those things that come to us from him are by his mercy, because he doesn't have to do it. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice. And you know, it's not enough to give him just your hands, but he also wants your feet. It's not enough to give him just your mind. He also wants your heart. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. As we submit our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, not dead on the altar, but living sacrifice, it is our act of worship. And then it goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Mm-hmm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these earthen vessels. Mm-hmm. Now I've come to the conclusion, and I thank the Lord for the things he ministered to me as I was preparing to minister to you, that most of us in our lives have at some point asked the question or wondered, what is God's will for me? What is God's will in this situation? Let's first talk about God's will in somewhat of a general sense. Most of us know something of God's will. I've come to the conclusion that it's not a matter of knowledge, because most of us have some knowledge of the will of God, don't we? Most of us have familiarity with the Ten Commandments. That means we have some knowledge of the will of God. We have knowledge that we are not to make any graven images. We have knowledge that we are not supposed to murder anybody. We might say, well, I never shot anybody, stabbed anybody, choked anybody. But remember what Jesus said. Murdering is not just about killing the body, but it's killing the spirit. Killing the soul of someone, killing, it's almost like taking the life from someone because of your actions, your words, or your deeds. We are familiar with, we shall not commit adultery. And you need to recognize that the word adultery doesn't just mean adultery and murder, but it's about sexual sin altogether. That those things are not supposed to be a part of our lives. We know some things about the will of God, that we shall not steal, and we shall not covet, and we shall not bear false witness. We have some knowledge, don't we?
Amen.
So what do we do with what we know? If we walk it out, then we're walking in the will of God. We know the golden rule, don't we? Do unto others as others do unto you. Thank you. Somebody to you. And I'm glad you were listening. Because, you know, sometimes we ministers do miss words. And sometimes we do make mistakes. So I'm glad you were listening and were able to say no and know what the true reading and writing of the Golden Rule is. We know that we are to love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. We know what love looks like. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we know that it indicates to us that love is patient and kind and thoughtful. It's not jealous. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. Though that's, love has a different kind of look. Love does not rejoice in injustice, but love rejoices when truth prevails. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not put itself first. We know what love looks like. What are we doing with what we know? We know, according to the word, that we are not to find ourselves drunk and intoxicated on alcohol or drugs. Why? Because that affects the soberness of our minds. Anybody who has been intoxicated will tell you they don't think the same way. Sometimes they think they're better than what they are. They can do more than they normally could do. Because alcohol and drugs will take you to a different place in yourself. We know that those things aren't good for us. We know, according to the word, that we are not to bite and devour one another. Whether it's in our home, in the church, in our community, we are not to bite and devour one another. We know that we are supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We know these things, that we are to write his word, allow his word to be written on the fleshly tables of our hearts. How else are we going to know how to walk out the will of God if we don't know what he says in his word? We know that the scriptures tell us that in all things we are to give thanks because this is the will of God. It's the what? It's the will of God concerning us that we give thanks in all things. Not that we're going through it, but we know we give thanks because we know that he's right there with us. We give thanks because we know that if we continue to honor the Lord, we will be strengthened in the process. Our faith will be built in the process. We give thanks because that's the will of God concerning us. And we know from the scriptures that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all things will be added to us. Those things that bring us to the place of pleasing him. The will of God. In my early walk with the Lord, when I was trying to figure out what the will of God was and simply how to walk out this Christian life, I remember asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to do this. What do I do? And one of the things he gave me was to think about what I would expect my pastor to do or not do. And if I didn't expect him to do it or not do it, then I needed to govern myself the same way. So I walked with that for a little while, but as I began to grow in the word and grow in the spirit of God, Father said, okay, now you need to take your eyes off of man because man will fall. Man will disappoint you. And not saying that Reverend Moore would disappoint me, that was my pastor, but just man in general. I needed to put my eyes on Jesus Christ and the word in order to know how to walk out the will of God. So, continually living in the will of God does not happen by accident. Mm-hmm. Living in the will of God is intentional living. Say those two words with me. Intentional living. See, when you want to walk out the will of God, you intend to do the right thing. The intention is within you to do the right thing. We intend to lift others up. We intend to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Living in the will of God is intentional living, but I have to take it beyond just being intentional because there are a lot of things that we intend to do that we never get around to. So let me put it this way. Walking out the will of God in your lives is a matter of living on purpose. You remember when you were children and you would do something sometime and you would say, that was by accident. Well, walking out the will of God doesn't typically happen purpose in our hearts to walk in faith and not in fear. We purpose in our hearts to be patient and long-suffering with one another. We purpose in our hearts sometimes to KYMS. Keep your mouth shut. Because sometimes that's what we need to do.
Amen.
We purpose in our hearts to speak life and not death. We purpose in our hearts to witness and work and worship so that the kingdom of God is glorified. Mm-hmm. We purpose in our hearts to look on our lives and make sure what we are doing fits with Christian character. I learned this from Charles Stanley. Does how you are living fit with Christian character? And not only does it fit with Christian character, well, let me just pause right there a little bit. Fitting with Christian character means, does it look good on you as a Christian? Okay? And then we, from there, can I ask God to bless what I'm doing? Can I say, Lord, give me the strength to do this? Lord, give me the wisdom to do this. Well, if it's not something in his will, you know you can't ask him to bless it. But a whole lot of times, though, we want God to bless our mess. And then, can you ask him to, can you expect him to reward you for what it is you're doing? When it's in his will, you can. But if it's not in his will, you can't expect him. I can't expect him to reward him for doing my own thing. But I can expect his reward when I know in my heart I have submitted to his will and not my will. Sometimes I think we need to pray like the psalmist prayed in Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. He says, show me your way, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long. I want to say that one more time. Show me your ways, O Lord. That's Psalm 24, verses 4 through 20. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That means there's a willingness in your spirit to want to know and want to do. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God. You are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you. How long? All the day long. Our being or not being in the will of God, oftentimes, as I mentioned earlier, is not a matter of knowledge, but a matter of want to. Did you ever instruct your children to do something, or maybe you were instructed to do something by a parent, and you said, I don't want to. We've all had those I don't want to moments, even with God. Father, put something on your heart. But it's not a matter of want to if you want the kingdom of God to come forth in your earthen vessel. But it's a matter of being willing, having a willingness to allow our will to be bent. You know how some metal can be bent easier than other metals? Some trees can be bent easier than other trees? We want to be so that our will can be bent to line up with the will of God. If we would just do what we know, just what we know. Some people think because they don't know the Bible from the front to the back, they can't live a life that pleases God. Oh, yes, you can, because you know some stuff. We know some things. If we would just do what we know, we would be better disciples for Jesus Christ. If we would just do what we know, we would be stronger, more impactful Christians in the kingdom of God and more effective. If we would just do what we know, our relationships in our home would be better. If we would just do what we know, our relationships in the church would be better. Our churches would function differently. If we would just do what we know, we could make a difference in our community to the glory of God. If we would just do what we know. just do what we know, we would be more loving, more kind, more patient. All those things that are fruit of the Spirit, if we would just do what we know. Can you think of something that you know in your mind, and actually you know it in your heart? Can you think of something that you know according to the will of God that you are doing? Think about that. Can you think of something you know in the Lord that you are not doing? Selah. All right, why else do we miss the will of God? Could it be that we are too distracted or preoccupied by the cares of this life? We have so much going on most of the time. Many of us are so busy. Sometimes it's the job, sometimes it's home situations, sometimes it's the church. But just keep in mind, we always need to make time for God. Amen. Make time for prayer. Make time for the word. Amen. Because if we are too busy for God, then we are indeed too busy. If we are too busy for time spent with him, we are indeed too busy. We are over-consumed sometimes, and some of us really need to get the anointing of no. We can't always say yes to be in the will of God. Sometimes we are dealing with emotional or mental health issues that paralyze us, or that we allow to paralyze us. These are things that sometimes make us miss the will of God, and sometimes we just make excuses. There's a hymn that we used to sing at Bethany, and I can remember Mr. Wheeler Hudson leading us in it. It says, I am satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes today as I think on Calvary, is my master satisfied with me? Don't you want him to be satisfied? I'm about to share with you a scripture that helped me, and I believe will help anyone who is serious about their life in the Lord. And that's Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, let me read that to you from the New Living Translation, which can sometimes be a little easier for us to understand. It says, for God is working in you. Now, listen to this. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God is working in us to give us the desire to do what pleases him. What did your reputation used to be? Huh? What did your reputation used to be? And some of us had some reputations that we might not want to put on a screen in front of everybody. But we had a reputation. And what is your reputation now? Do you know why you are not what you used to be? Because God is working and has been working in you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why you're not what you used to be.
That's right.
And why are you not what you're going to be? Because God is working in you.
Yes.
Both to will and to do, to give you the desire of his heart in your heart and the power to do what will please him. To God be the glory. Aren't you glad he's working in you?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now, keep in mind this too. If God's going to work in you and I, we've got to give him something to work with. We've got to give him something to work with. What can I give him to work with? I can give him a willing heart. I can give him a humble spirit.
Yes.
I can give him a repentant heart. a broken and a contrite spirit, the Lord says he will in no wise cast it aside. I can give him an obedient heart. When we give him those things, we give God something to work with. To bring us to that place where our desires are his desires, so we end up doing what pleases him.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And then we can give him the heart and mind of saying, Lord, I have a spirit of excellence. Meaning you don't want to do things halfway. Because you recognize you're working for the king. In the king's kingdom. Psalm 37:4 says, delight, take joy, take pleasure, be overtaken by. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So often we've read that saying, if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me what I want. But I do see that slightly different. I see it as lining up with Philippians 2:13, that if we delight in the Lord, he will put his desires in our hearts so that we will please him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these earthen vessels of ours. Now there are times when we have challenging or difficult decisions in front of us. And we have made decisions that were tough. And prior to making that decision, we did ask the Lord to help us to know his will. Now, I don't have a magic formula for knowing the will of God. However, I do know this. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth. He gave us the written word that we could have direction. So since he's given us the Holy Spirit and the word, sometimes I've heard people say, well, they cast lots in the Bible. Well, at the time that the lots were cast, Holy Spirit hadn't been given. So just keep that in mind. Be careful about putting dependence on your interpretation of one dream. Because that dream that you think gave you the answer, maybe because of the chili peppers you ate too late at night. Be careful about trusting your dreams. And also be careful about throwing out a fleece. Because God doesn't always work that way. But you can trust his word. And you can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let me take it just a little bit further. If the decision is challenging, I'm going to give you what could be a few things for you to consider. First of all, make it a matter of prayer. Father just brought this back to my spirit. Not every decision is a challenging decision. But just listening for the will of God in the simplest of things could someday save your life.
Yeah.
I've heard people make fun of people who may have said, I asked the Lord what to put on this morning. And people have made fun of them. But I was thinking about this thing. As crazy as this world is, or crazy as America is, suppose there is somebody out there who's in their crazy mind would say, I'm going to shoot the first person I see with a red dress on. And you were about to put on your red dress that morning.
All right.
But instead you put on black pants.
All right.
May have just saved your life. Now that might seem far out, but do you hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
Listen for the will and the spirit of God. So back to the challenge of things. Make it a matter of prayer. Then cast out our own desires. And our doubts and our fears. Sometimes that's what hinders us. We're so wrapped up in what we want, or we're so afraid because of not understanding or not knowing what the end is going to be, or we're so filled with doubt. We need to cast those things aside because what do we want? We want to be in the will of God. Listen for direction from the Holy Spirit. He does give it, and he will give it. And then check out the matter against the word of God. Check it out. Then I say to you, watch and listen for signs and warnings. Watch and listen for signs and warnings. A lot of times the Lord will show you just a little something to let you know, oh no, don't go that way. I was dating a young man one time, and a friend of mine said to me, and I know she said it out of love, Clarissa, you need to get away from him. Now, I didn't listen to him right away because I thought I could help him. But you know, ladies, most of the time when we think we can help a man, rather than our helping him, he ends up pulling us down or bringing us down. So I listened to the woman. I listened to my friend. Because that's not the man right there. That's not the man she told me to get away from. That was somebody else. Listen for warnings and watch for signs. Then seek counsel from someone you trust in the Lord. You can't go to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Aisha, and Jamal and get their opinion. Seek input from someone who you trust in the Lord. And then take time to count the cost. Do your research. List the pros and the cons. Sometimes the Lord will show you something if you would just take time to do that and not make a snap decision. And then pray some more. After you've counted the cost, after you've done the research, pray some more. And then not just pray verbally, asking the Lord to give you direction, but also practice listening prayer. Yes. Listening prayer is when you have prayed and then you sit back and you silently just listen and wait for the Lord to speak to your heart. Now for me, when it comes to seeking the will of God for things, this is how he's worked with me from time to time. Sometimes I just get what I call an irk in my spirit, an unrest in my spirit. It's like something within me says, put on the brakes. Or as my husband says, I've got to pump the brakes. Sometimes we just have to, it's something in my spirit that just says, stop. And then there are other times when my go-ahead, well, my major go-ahead is when I get a sense of peace.
Right.
When I have sought the Lord, and I get this sense of peace. And the peace is not that this is going to be easy or it's all going to work out, but it's just a sense of peace of go forward. I will be with you.
Yeah.
Go forward. This is my will for you at this time.
Thank you, Lord.
And there have been times that I have simply just stepped out on faith because I just didn't know. But because there was something in me that said, go forward, and I believe God was saying, go forward, I just stepped out there.
Thank you, Lord.
Knowing that he was with me. And that he would uphold me and give me direction in the process. See, the key is having the mindset, Lord, I just want to be in your will. I just want to please you. Having the mindset of, Lord, I just want to be where you want me to be. Touching the people that you want me to touch. Encouraging the people you want me to encourage. Lord, I just want to be in your will because I know in your will is the safest place to be. I know in your will is the most profitable place to be. I know in your will is the most impactful place to be.
Thank you, Lord.
So sometimes you and I, we just have to step out on faith, believing that that God is with us, and then trust him through the journey. And know this for a surety, that just because something is God's will, doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
That's right. Thank
you. You remember when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat, we're going to the other side, and a storm came? And the disciples felt like their lives were threatened. I don't think that storm took Jesus by surprise. But the thing is, he was with them in the boat. Sometimes the will of God does take us into difficult places, hard places, places that we would not have chosen to go on our own, places we just don't want to go. But it's still the will of God. And when it is the will of God, he will settle your spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Settle your spirit enough to step out on faith. The disciples had to get in the boat to go to the other side. You and I have to get in the boat sometime. I had someone tell me one time when I was going through something, They just said, Clarice, get in the boat. And I knew what they meant. You gotta get in the boat. We have to get in the boat to get to the other side of tribulation. We have to get in the boat to get to the other side of trials. We have to get in the boat to get to the other side of our fears and our doubts. We have to get in the boat to get to the other side of disappointments and disillusionments. We have to get in the boat and know that the Lord God is with us and will carry us. We can be right in the middle of God's will and still have to go over rocky, bumpy roads. We can be right in the middle of God's will and still come under attack from people, come under attack in our bodies. We can also be in the middle of God's will and find ourselves in some of the most challenging places. Just because the road gets rough, it doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Just know you have to trust him in the journey. As citizens of the kingdom, he never promised us the road would be easy or that there would be fortified walls to keep troubles away from us. But what he did promise is that he would be with us. He did promise that all things would work together. This part might not feel good, and that part might not be good, but he knows how to work it all together for our good. And we also know that he said that he would uphold us with his righteous right hand. So, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. Whether I am happy or sad, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. Whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. Whether the way is clear or I'm not sure, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Whether I feel great or my body is fighting against me, thy kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Whether I'm surrounded by people who love me or I am feeling all alone, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So will you invite the Lord today to walk with you in the corridors of your life and reveal the desires of his heart, asking him to reveal the desires of his heart to your heart. The corridors of your relationships, the corridors of your failure, your frailties, and your fears, the corridors of your job or your retired lifestyle. Will you ask him to walk with you through those corridors and give you his desires? May I encourage you in the week to come. Each day, say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel today. Pick a day, or all 7 days, where you say to Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel. And then you can stretch it from there. In my home, in my church. Piney Hill, don't you want to see the kingdom of God come forth? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these Americas. And remember, this is temporary. There is a kingdom to come, a perfect kingdom. For Jesus Christ does rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are all in submission, perfect submission to him. To God be the glory. Living in the kingdom. There are two people, groups of people that concern me. One of them is those who have simply rejected Jesus Christ. They know about him, know of him, but they just really don't want any parts of him. They've rejected him. That group concerns me. There's another group that also concerns me. It's that group of whom the Lord has said or will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And remember, before he says that, they're telling him all the things that they have done in his name. They've been doing the things. But he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm very concerned about that group of people. So I want to invite you to set your heart indeed to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We've typically done a song at the end of the message, and we're going to go ahead and do that song. To God be the glory. For what we know is our time is up. If your time is up, you can turn it off. But we do feel led on the Lord to go ahead and minister the song this morning that goes along with the message that the Lord gave some time ago. And we just want you to be blessed in the process. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. My righteousness I have given to you, that you might walk in holiness. Others are looking to you for a standard in me. So walk upright, be steadfast, cause no one to stumble. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Trust in my word, it will give you peace. Partake of it, write it on the tables of your heart. Then when trouble comes, you won't be cast down, because your inward man is being renewed day by day. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. With the oil of joy, I anoint my people. Your countenance shines as the light of day. Just worship and praise my name all the days of your life. As you lift me up, I'll lift you up. Together we'll reign. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not me. righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Holy Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord God. We believe that it has been placed on the fleshly tables of our hearts to bring conviction and conversion to the glory of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these earthen vessels. I thank you, Lord, for drawing those who need to know you and all of us who need to walk more closely with you. Thank you, Lord, for doing the drawing that we might yield and that your will be done in our earthen vessels. In the name of Jesus Christ.